Junk to Jewels by Larry Chikoroff. Preface and Testimony. History shows that no one living on this earth is free from some sort of sufferings, difficulties, and challenges in life. Even those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ are not exempt. Why? Genesis 3:17 through 18 says why. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." Genesis 3:17 through 18. Adam's sin of rebellion against God was manifested in the fact that he and Eve no longer trusted only the word of God, but turned to their own flesh, or in other words, their own intellect, disconnected from God. This brought on the curse. Thorns represent the curse. We are all born under Adam's curse, and most of us have other curses that are passed down through our generations. When Moses asked God to reveal his real personage to him, part of God's response is found in the following verses. He spoke about the curse. "Now the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him, and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Exodus 34, 5-8. Jesus warned all of us in the parable of the sower that even his word would have no power if we did not cooperate with him to overcome the curse. He spoke of thorns again, the curse. "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Mark 4:18 through 19. The Apostle Paul perhaps explained this better than others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he spoke of the thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan. I submit that Paul was experiencing the curse from his family line. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a legalist, persecutor, and even a murderer of Christians. He was touching the apple of God's eye. He was coming against Jesus himself. Thus, he had some serious reaping of some bad seeds he had sown. Many were coming against him, including the Jewish legalists and others who had beat him to a pulp many times. However, Paul had learned a precious secret, that being that his curse, or his thorn in the flesh, was actually his best weapon for his ministry and for displacing Satan's rule and bringing in God's kingdom. Paul said that after learning this secret, that his infirmities were something that he actually embraced as profitable. Paul learned this grace lesson, that when he was weak, the grace of God took over. To put it another way, when he was helpless, that is when Christ in him was free to do the work of overcoming the curse and displacing Satan. Job learned this. His suffering not only brought him face to face with God, but also brought defeat to Satan in Job's realm of influence. God turned Job's junk, or his thorns, into jewels. Notice in the Exodus scripture quoted above that God said, "Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." This sounds like a paradox, but Jesus cleared it up. The Lord does visit the curse upon the generations, but Jesus forgives it or takes it away by becoming a curse for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Galatians 3:13 through 14. How did Jesus overcome the curse? He went to the cross. I believe that we overcome in much the same manner. We go through the storms of life that are brought on by the curse. When we live the overcoming lifestyle and go through the storms, we find that they actually had no power over us, but instead we use them to turn our junk, our thorns, into jewels for the kingdom of God. The book of Revelation is our script for overcoming, as you will read later in this book. Revelation 21:19 says, "The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Revelation 22:3. Testimony of Julie Hatcher, Freedom Fellowship Church, Austell, Georgia. "I was 5 when it happened. My first anxiety attack, I have vivid memories of crying as my father dropped me off from school. I would dread going to the bathroom by myself or walking down the hall to take a note to the next classroom because I knew the fear would come. Although I lived in a supportive, loving Christian home, the enemy was relentless in pouring out fear into my life on a daily basis. Growing up with fear and anxiety felt normal to me. From my perspective, everyone experienced anxiety attacks and times of intense panic. After being in an abusive relationship during my teenage years and many destructive choices, I had an encounter with the Lord that changed my life. I accepted Christ into my heart, and it was then that I came to understand that fear was not something I was created to live with, but something that I was created to overcome. As time went on and I began to grow in Christ, I was still experiencing anxiety and intense fear. I knew the promises of God, and yet I was not experiencing them. I continued to grow in my relationship with the Lord as well as my personal life. So I convinced myself that I was okay. In the natural, I meet a young man who God had placed in my life and would later become my husband. I journeyed through a tragic event with my family that took the life of my cousin. At the time, I knew I was experiencing life changes that triggered anxiety, but it was what I did not know that the enemy would use to try to destroy me. As time passed, I got married, and I was still not experiencing the promise of peace and abundant life that God was offering me. The fear continued to grow, and the anxiety attacks were increasing. It was soon after I got married that I believed a lie that the enemy spoke to me. I remember one day when I was at work, I was having trouble with allergies, so I took some allergy medication that had been prescribed to me. Immediately upon taking the allergy medication, an instant fear came over me, and I heard the lie of the enemy who said, "If you take medicine, you will die." After that experience, I was not able to take medications, and the fear began to spill over into other areas of my life. The enemy then began to whisper the same lie when I would eat. I then began to pick through food, not eating much of what was on my plate. After a while, the food I did eat, I would try to purge when the anxiety would come. This fear continued for almost 2 years. People began to notice the weight loss. I would passively ignore the questions of how I was losing weight, all the while I was too ashamed and scared to share with anyone what was going on in my life. Finally, some good news. My husband and I found out that we were expecting our first child. What a beautiful promise. Of course, the enemy was steady at work, speaking fear and deceit during my pregnancy. Through grace, I was able to eat a little more, but still was not able to swallow prenatal vitamins because of the lie that I had believed. God kept my beautiful baby girl and me safe through the pregnancy. It wasn't until my last trimester that I received a wake-up call. I remember going to one of my weekly appointments, not expecting to hear the news that I would receive. The midwife had finished her exam and began to express her concern about the lack of sufficient weight gain. She then began to inform me that my baby was not taking on weight because I was not eating enough. The final warning was my wake-up call. She told me that if I did not begin to gain 2 pounds a week, that they were going to take my baby early. At this point, I knew that I was going to have to address the stronghold in my life. I knew it was time. Through God's grace and His mercy, I was able to put on the appropriate weight throughout the last trimester, and we were blessed with a healthy baby girl. After the excitement of our new baby girl had leveled off, I began to ask God the question, why? Why was I not experiencing the power He promised in my life to overcome fear? Why was I not living in the peace that He spoke of in His Word? I knew God promised me in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love cast out fear, and He instructed me throughout the Bible to fear not. And yet I still feared. I tried to manage the fear and anxiety attacks in my own strength, utilized techniques that I had learned throughout my life, but nothing seemed to stop them from coming. I began to pursue God for the answers, never expecting the answer that I would find. Camp meeting. Through the plan of God, my husband and I heard about a missionary couple who were ministering at my previous home church, so we decided to go. I had not seen the Rickles family in quite some time, so I was excited to see them and hear what the Lord was saying. That was when I heard the term, from junk to jewels. I was puzzled and intrigued all at the same time. The word of the Lord was so powerful that week, Pastor Scott preached about the very trash in my life as the raw material that God needed to create beautiful jewels with. Pastor Rocio, his wife, preached about the very dirt in our lives being the very clay that God was going to mold into a beautiful masterpiece. It was then that I knew that this was the answer that I had been searching for. After the camp meetings, Pastor Scott and Pastor Rocio handed out copies of the Junk to Jewels book that they had been preaching on. The following week, I began to think about specific circumstances that happened in my life from my past. I tried to dismiss them, but they just seemed to keep coming back. I knew it wasn't the enemy, because there wasn't a feeling of condemnation attached to them. I knew that I did not want to have to relive the pain that those circumstances had caused in my life. I just wasn't ready to face them again. It was then that I tried to start reading the Junk to Jewels book. And I put it down. I did not have the strength or courage to face the strongholds in my life. I tried before and failed because the fear and anxiety were still present. Perplexed about what to do, I continued to ask the Lord for answers. It was that week when the Lord woke me up one night and told me to pick up the Junk to Jewels book. So I did. I remember reading through chapter 5 about overcoming and about the redeeming power of the cross. It was then that the Lord spoke to me and said, I have disempowered the enemy. His power is null and void. No longer will the memories from your past give you pain. I am with you, so they will not have the same effect on you as they did before. But we have to revisit them so that I can turn your pain into power. In other words, the Lord wanted to turn my junk into jewels. I began to praise God for His revelation. His truth had set me free. I understood what the Lord wanted to do. He wanted to take the junk that was sitting around in my life and turn it into precious jewels for His kingdom. The memories were not for me to experience the pain and anxiety again, but opportunities for me to overcome the works of the enemy in my life. I began to understand that God had abolished the enemy's power, and that through Christ I had the peace that I had been longing for. I then began to walk without fear and anxiety, because I began to believe the truth instead of the lie. I can now say with confidence that the enemy has been defeated, and I have been resurrected through Christ. I have a heavenly seat with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord! No more shame, no more guilt. I do not have to hide the mistakes that I have made in my life. Now my testimony is one of freedom, joy, and peace, because I know the master craftsman who transforms any mistakes, any junk that I create into something so beautiful that it shines with precision. I now know that my junk has been turned into precious jewels.